Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz in this holiday shortened week. And, you know, we've seen it all from sea to shining sea. We continue to see, irrational behavior, and markets continue to work for no rhyme nor reason. We all know that the overall economy is a sick puppy. We know that there is a lot of issues out there, and I think that, you know, you yourself have to look back and think about it, think about where you stand, and realize that the more we see some of these troubles show up, the more likely it is that the markets are going to see some turbulence. Now, we'll see if this is another one-time blip and another great buying opportunity overall, or if this is the start of selling. And if you remember, and again, I'm not trying to peddle fear, and certainly I don't want you to panic. You remember that, you know, typically you don't see much panic throughout the summers. They're typically quieter. Typically, September is a weak month in the market, but not always. And again, you know, you'll hear, again, that's why we don't worry about those statistics. We don't get involved in, you know, saying that, you know, selling may go away and September sucks and all that stuff. Because first thing you got to remember is it always comes down to the individual stock or commodity or whatever you're trading at the time and how that's doing. Because you can find stocks that have been rising in this falling market, and you could have found stocks that were falling in the rising market. So again, nothing is forever, and nothing is easy. But what you do want to know is where you are with your portfolio and where you are going and how you're going to get there. And I think that is the more important thing to look at. Because again, you know, as you know, I'm part of the news. I mean, obviously this is like a news show, but at least on this show, you're getting my honest opinion. I have no personal gain to whether you listen to what I say here as far as my opinion or not. I'm not trying to talk my book of business, which unfortunately many of the people on TV are talking their portfolio and their book, because most of them are not even traders. Most of them aren't risking their own money. Most of them are just talking crap and trying to appease their clientele while looking for new clients. This is not what we are. And so when I go on air, you see that I do get into a lot of arguments. I don't know if they're arguments, but a lot of heated discussions regarding what I see happening in the market versus what they see, and why typically I am usually right. Now, again, it's not because I'm smarter than anybody. It's because that I'm willing to admit, A, if I'm buying that I'm wrong, if I'm selling that I'm wrong. I'm willing to say, hey, I can see a different path that we will be on. And that becomes the bigger story. Okay. So willing to adjust and adapt to what's going on around you versus just saying it's so. And again, I always find that extremely irritating as a regular contributor to a lot of the major networks when people refuse to admit that they see a change, because that would have an adverse effect on their overall business. And that is something that I find to be also a problem, okay, is that, you know, we see these things happen all the time. And I find that more disturbing than anything else. To me, it becomes a bigger problem because you just don't see the forest before the trees, so to speak. And that's why I have a big problem with everybody who tries to drive home, you know, the fear, the problem, the this, the that, you know, because they weren't the ones that were telling you ahead of time that you needed to be worried. They're the ones that are very similar to our Federal Reserve and organizations like that, that after the horse is already out of the barn, now they're telling you there's a problem. Where were they before the problem? Just like the I don't know what you call them, but the guy in China just said, well, our bubble is bursting and we're back. Well, how come we didn't hear that it was a bubble before it burst? Can't we see bubbles forming? Why do we find it so hard to admit that there's a bubble? Why do we find it so hard to say that we don't know what we're doing, we screwed up, instead of trying to continue to kick the can down the road and try to make excuses for what is going on versus just fixing it? Doesn't that make just more sense? Isn't that just too simple for words? And that is what I find to be troubling, is why can't we just say, hey, we screwed up, we got a problem, let's fix it, instead of, well, let's see, we might raise rates here, and let's have Fisher come out here, and Lockhart come out here, and Dudley come out here, and then Yellen will speak, and then maybe we'll get Bernanke to write a blog, and we'll get all this stuff, when, isn't that a bunch of horseshit? I mean, do you ever get tired of listening to the people speak about nothing? You know, it reminds you of the old Seinfeld stuff, you know, Toothpaste talking in air, the episodes about nothing. Can we finally admit, and look, I'm not one to tell you that I don't know what's going to happen. I can tell you what I see happening. Okay, I can't guarantee it. Well, I can guarantee there's going to be a collapse. That I can guarantee. I can't tell you when, but I can guarantee it. Okay, but to sit there and tell us and like lie right to your face saying everything's going to be okay as the ship is going down and there's no rescue team coming. Calm, everybody be calm. Nothing's going to go wrong. We're going to be fine. Okay, as they're marching you in to the slaughtering house, everything will be fine, don't worry, you know. And that's what comes down to bother me. Let's just own it, say it, figure it out, because all we're doing now is wasting time. And you know what, life is too short to waste time on garbage. Life is too short to sit back and pretend that a problem doesn't exist. And that becomes the bigger issue in my eyes, is why don't we just figure it out instead of hiding? Because you will find in life that if you admit you have a problem and you address that you have a problem, you have a much greater probability of solving that problem. And it's those of us who refuse to admit the problem. And I guess we're waiting for the typical bottom out before. But why do we have to bottom out? It's as clear as can be that there is a problem. But that'll take us through the beginning here. And this is the Bubba Show. We're going to step out here for a break, and we're going to come back and listen to some Maria Bartiromo with me and Maria and Dagan McDowell. So we'll step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. You will hear me write about some of these things that are long, that haven't even shown up yet. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
I went out last night.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz, and for many of you know that I was on Mornings with Maria last week, and I want to share a couple of those clips with you, so let's go back to Mornings with Maria Bartiromo.
This morning, just adding to the wild triple-digit swings we've been seeing over the last week and a half, oil prices also upsetting investors this morning, a big part of the story. That market erasing months of losses in just the last few days. Take a look at this chart, and you can see what's been going on. We have had declines by as much as 4% overnight as the wild swings in oil continue. We're looking at a decline right now at about 48.22 is where oil is this morning. That's down about 2%. Weak manufacturing data out of China, really setting the tone for the market in oil. Todd Horowitz with us. September, historically a tough month for the market, right, Todd?
It is, historically.
And you've been negative for a while. You finally got what you were looking for.
You know, it's pretty easy to be negative. There's not a lot of good news out there. I mean, seriously, look at it. Where's the growth? Okay, you've got to have, every night we're waiting for China, you said it. We have to wait till the government comes in and manipulates the market so that we might see a potential rally.
Yeah, we get a jobs number out on Friday, Dakin, and of course, this all comes back to the growth or lack of growth in the U.S. I keep mentioning corporate earnings because I think it's a big part of the story. No growth in corporate earnings for
right,
the second
and
quarter.
There's still double-digit growth expectations going into next year, and if those numbers start to come down, which, you know, the estimates have been falling, that could put more pressure, downside pressure on the stock market. But is it going to be a good sign that the Federal Reserve moves sooner rather than later? You got an indication, like from Stanley Fisher over the weekend, that the Federal Reserve is still on track to raise rates, maybe not in September, but they've got two more meetings after that to make the move. If they don't raise, market tumble because it sends a signal that the U.S. is even weaker than they thought.
Yeah, I mean,
they will not raise.
They will not raise. I think that's going to be a bigger negative for the markets because people are basically going to say, wait a minute, we can't even raise interest rates to get out of zero because the economy is so weak.
They will
raise. That's the point. Okay, well, I'll tell you what.
I'll bet you
$20. $20. You got
it. We got a wager going here. $20.
They don't raise this year. There's no chance.
Eliana, let me ask you because it all goes back to jobs and we have this jobs report coming out on Friday. How would you characterize the economic picture right now?
It's tough. And, you know, from the political side of this, we've had China skeptics saying for a long time that there's no way the Chinese economy is going to overtake the U.S. economy precisely because the political situation in China is so precarious. And I wonder from the economic side, do you think that that argument will ever come back strong after what we've seen over the past month?
What do you think? I mean, the Chinese market has been front and center.
You know, China is hard to get a read on. I mean, we know that a communist country, they manipulate. I mean,
I don't even know if the numbers are right.
Right. Well, that's always been the case.
As a reminder that there's nothing free in that nation, that 200 people were arrested, they announced just on Sunday, and we're talking about analysts, brokers,
journalists
for basically talking down the market, and then they had to go on TV and essentially confess their sins.
That journalist, really, the Chinese journalist, I mean, it is so outrageous to blame a stock market sell-off where trillions of dollars are lost in market value on a journalist.
But that's what you're contending with.
I know.
In that nation, manipulation from start to finish.
Yeah. I think what you've heard these China skeptics say over the past 10 years or so, when you've had people like Tom Friedman writing in the New York Times that he admits to a twinge of jealousy over the Chinese economy, and what you've heard these skeptics say is you can't really build a free market economy from Beijing when you have statists there, you know, tweaking it every day, that this is not really the way. You need to have a stable and free domestic political situation, that the two are inextricably intertwined.
Mm-hmm. And they're not a free market. They are a manipulated society. I mean, that bottom line is they are not a free market.
Capitalism is not the same.
Of course, there's not as much capitalism here either. Yeah. We're losing our capitalism here as well.
Capitalism, very different than communism. That's
and
for
we've
sure.
hitched our wagon to that nation.
Yeah.
We don't even know what we're contending with.
Meanwhile, we're also watching the State Department releasing about 7,000 additional pages of Hillary Clinton emails. About 125 of those emails contained information that the State Department says is classified. Blake Berman has the details right now in Washington. Blake, good morning to you.
Hi there, Maria. Good morning to you as well. Many of those 125 emails are heavily redacted. They've now been deemed by the State Department as classified and contain messages from Hillary Clinton's advisors discussing a wide range of foreign issues and leaders. Upon their release among the 7,100 total pages made public last night, the State Department continued to come to Clinton's side by saying it's routine to upgrade classified information. Clinton, of course, defends her email practices now by saying nothing she emailed was marked classified. classified at the time. These new emails, though, might question Clinton's claim that her one device setup was done for convenience. It appears she also used an iPad. In 2010, one advisor writes, quote, "Your iPad has arrived." Clinton responds by saying, "That's exciting news. Do you think you can teach me to use it on the flight next week to Kiev?" Clinton also joked Maria about having multiple email addresses. Also in 2010, she wrote to Susan Rice, "Please feel free to use whatever current address may be anytime." Maria?
All right. Thank you so much, Blake Berman. We'll be watching the results here. Eliana, the latest polls already showing Hillary Clinton is taking a hit from this email controversy. Do you agree with that? Because there's a debate among her supporters.
Absolutely. Well, what I think you've seen happen, and you've seen it happen to a couple of previous presidents, is that she's been tagged as dishonest, untrustworthy in the American mind. And once you get tagged as that, it's very difficult to shed that label. And that's happened to a couple of previous presidents. It happened to Richard Nixon and it happened to Bill Clinton. They were Tricky Dick and Slick Willie. And that, I think that's what's dragging her down in the polls. And that's why you're seeing Joe Biden contemplate a run. That's why you're seeing Bernie Sanders surge. And, you know, Barack Obama ran on bringing bipartisanship to Washington and on cleaning up the place, bringing out the lobbyists. Nobody is going to say, oh, let's elect Hillary Clinton. She's going to come in and clean up Washington and bring out
she's
going to
teach us how to steal money out of the cattle market.
Right, exactly.
She's going to help us how to make $100,000 and $2 for $3,000 in the cattle market. Yeah.
That would help her these days, given her current situation.
You know, that poll that came out the other day, that the first three words that describe Hillary, what was it?
Liar, untrustworthy, and I can't remember.
One of them was, I think, unutterable on television. So.
All true.
Point being, though, that she brings this, though, she's trying to run for president. Slick Willie and Tricky Dick Nixon, they earned those monikers when they were in office, right? But she brings this and is trying to run for the presidency, knowing this, and again, once again, proved that she did not have that email account for convenience. But it's going to take something much bigger to blow up in her face beyond what we got from these emails. Maybe we'll find out more from them.
Meanwhile, the piece that you wrote, which was at the top of Judge yesterday, you were also writing that big donors are still hoping Mitt Romney will enter the race. What are you hearing in terms of Mitt Romney, and do you expect him to throw his hat in the ring?
You know, I think it's unlikely that Romney will jump in the race, maybe impossible, but I really think it does speak to the absolute chaos on the Republican side and how much it's absolutely undoing the Republican establishment. We have outsiders at the very top of the polls, and right now, the political candidates, Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, Marco Rubio, their approach has been not to engage with these people, and right now, it's simply not working.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable when you look at what's going on in terms of the outrage on the part of the people.
Well, I mean, the people, I think, are tired.
They do not want the establishment.
And it's everything goes back to, well, you're not part of the establishment, so you can't be the president. I mean, why can't you? Why can't somebody from the outside step in?
That's what people are waiting for, is some engagement on the part of these political candidates with the outsiders. And we haven't seen that yet. None of them have engaged with these candidates who are surging, whether it be Donald Trump or Ben Carson, and make the case about why they're actually better qualified to be president. We've seen Jeb Bush come back at Donald Trump and say, oh, you're not ideologically conservative, or you gave more money to Democrats than Republicans. I don't know if he's noticed, but Donald Trump's supporters aren't actually supporting him because he's ideologically consistent. And so we haven't really seen people come back at them with regard to the arguments that they're actually making to the American people.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know when you recognize that the United States is a business and a corporation and not something that, you know, we have to worry about the whole political system.
It's not, though. It's not. You can't go in as president and just start randomly firing people, which people seem to think Donald Trump's going to be able to do. He has to contend with people who are elected to office. You got to get along. You got to make do. There's not a doggone thing you can do about
it. That's true, but that
you don't like the Speaker of the House?
Is that not wrong? Well, that's true.
Right. It's not the reality show. Right, don't miss my interview with former U.S. Attorney General Michael Mukasey on the Hillary Clinton emails. He's coming up at the 7:30, a half an hour. We will bring you that coming up. Coming up next, though, this morning just.
And you see that, we look at, me and Dagan, I got my $20. I'm going to win because there's no way they're going to raise rates. And you saw a lot of interesting things. And is Hillary Clinton not dishonest and not trustworthy? I mean, I don't know. I mean, can you really believe anything that she says? I can't. I think that it becomes a joke to even think about it. But no joking aside, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break. And we're going to come back and listen to some more from the Maria Show. But in the meantime, make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. As you will see, we have been writing about things that are happening now, but we were writing about them 6 months ago. That's at thebubbashow.org. This is Todd Horowitz. This is The Bubba Show. We'll see you right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Let me see what spring is like on.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwanted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
The War State by Michael Swanson is a must-read for anyone interested in the critical 20 years after World War II, when the United States morphed from a constitutional republic to a global imperial superpower. Get The War State by Michael Swanson from Amazon.com today.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Yeah, that whistle is 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and again, we're going to go back and hang out with our friend Maria Bartiromo and Dagan McDowell, and we're going to have some fun there. And you can check out and see what we actually said and what was going on. So let's get back to them.
Once we hit 3750 last week, I think that was the magic button. Markets exploded. And you can just see it in the chart. I mean, we're basically parabolic. I think really what you got to watch is this $50 level. If we can get through and sustain it, that was the key on the way down. If we can get through 50, I think we go higher. Otherwise, we'll probably churn in this range here. I would not be surprised to see the lows tested once again. But overall, longer term, I like the space, and I think you've seen it play out in a lot of the oil service stocks and all of the oil stocks.
But isn't it the reason behind the decline is because China is slowing down, one of the reasons, and also because there's so much oil on the market? I mean, so longer term, wouldn't that mean lower oil?
You would think so, but, you know, again, if we're going to have true demand, if we're going to really be a growing economy, you know, we keep getting all these numbers from our people here. We're growing, everything is great. You would think that would create a bigger demand, and we'd be able to use all that oil. And with the growing population, I think that you're going to see oil will stabilize somewhere in this area here. I mean,
is there a political angle to the oil story?
Well, I'm wondering, we've been through over the past several decades all of this volatility in oil prices. Isn't this the argument the politicians make for oil independence, for energy independence for the U.S.? And would that protect the country from all of this volatility in the oil markets?
It won't protect it from volatility. I mean, this is one of the reasons that oil was down below $40 a barrel, in part is because of the vast amount of production coming out of the United States. So it's healthy in the long run, short run, when oil prices crater because of the supply coming out of fracking and these new technologies. It does hurt job creation. It does hurt about a dozen states in this country, but this is ultimately healthy. I will say, people always blame the speculators when oil is spiking. Well, let's blame the speculators when oil is cratering, because a lot of this downward pressure in oil and the slide that
100%.
We've seen is because people are anticipating that the Federal Reserve and other banks will pull back that cheap and easy money.
Commodities in general always go too far one way or the other.
Right.
You had everybody loading up on that short side of the boat saying, this is going to happen, we've got way too much supply, boom, we pushed it down. And all of a sudden, there was nobody left to sell it.
How much of this sell-off is due to the Federal Reserve? And do you think how much is due to the global slowdown worries? Because there's also this transition that we're all waiting for as the Fed is about to raise rates that also is unnerving investors.
I think that a big percentage of it is really just to the supply model that we're getting to. I think the slowdown, we all know, we still use a lot of oil. Slowdown or no slowdown, you're still driving cars, you still have heating, you've got all these things going. So I think
we'll take a short break. Futures are tumbling this morning, sliding into the red ahead of the open. 300 points lower is what we're expecting. Should investors brace for a deeper September sell-off?
And, of course, we saw that there was a deeper sell-off, which no surprise here that there was a deeper sell-off because we felt that there would be a deeper sell-off. But now let's go back and see what is going on with our friends over at Fox and Maria Bartiromo. Mornings with Maria.
And markets, we're following the breaking news this morning, and that is another sell-off on the way for the U.S. stock market. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maria Bartiromo. It is Tuesday, September 1 at 6:30 a.m. on the East Coast. With me this hour is Fox Business Network's Dagan McDowell, Todd Horwitz of Average Joe Options, and Eliana Johnson of the National Review. It is shaping up to be a tough day for the market. For those of you listening on the radio right now, futures are indicating that the U.S. stock market is primed for a decline of 300 points at the opening of trading. That's on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. We're looking at 2% declines for the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ as well. This is a month of losses wiped out over the last 3 days, meanwhile, in the oil market. We're seeing a sell mode this morning on oil, down as much as 4% earlier, now down about 1%, as you can see, off of the lows of the day on oil. We are looking at weakness in oil, weakness in stocks. There's also a rush on to buy gold as a safety play today. Gold up almost $9 an ounce right now. It is up almost it's up $10, as you can see there, almost 1%. There's also a fire sale on stocks underway in Europe. The major averages in Britain, France, Germany, all booking triple-digit losses right now, down between 2 and 2.5%. The latest batch of Hillary Clinton emails are out. They came out last night at 9 p.m., some seedy details about the U.S.'s relationship with Israel and the prospect of a college being named after Hillary Clinton. More damning are the now 125 emails on the account of the former Secretary of State that would be later deemed classified, and that the IT crew at the State Department apparently knew little, if anything, about Clinton's private email server. A huge week for fantasy football. Meanwhile, drafts well underway with a lot of money on the line. One of the big questions is if you should take your Tom Brady pick in your draft with the Deflategate scandal hanging over his head. We're going to get into that coming up in the program. But first, the breaking news. The first trading session of the month shaping up to be a tough one for the markets. Futures showing the stocks are primed for a triple-digit loss. Meanwhile, crude oil also all over the place, but a huge rally yesterday and a sell-off earlier this morning, down as much as 4%. Oil now, as you can see, at $48.75 a barrel. September, historically a tough month for the market. It will be tougher this year with uncertainty around the Federal Reserve's next interest rate hike. Listen to Mohamed El Arian of Allianz, who gave me his thoughts on Sunday on Sunday Morning Futures.
The timing matters, and my gut feeling is they won't go in September. There's simply too much global uncertainty. As much as I would have liked them to go earlier, I think right now they will not go in September.
Increasingly, as we get weak economic data, Todd, you're seeing more and more people say we won't go in September, but you wonder if that's going to be an even worse situation for the markets.
I think that is going to be the case. They should raise. They won't raise because they don't have the courage to raise, but I don't think they're raising. I bet Dagan $20 that they wouldn't raise. And
this year was the best.
This year.
You don't think that they'll raise this year.
In 2015.
Well, what about December? You don't think they're going to raise in December?
They're not going to raise before Christmas. They're not going to bring out that bad news.
Oh, so they start hiking rates going into a presidential election year? No way.
Well, we'll
they
see. Let's make it 40.
No,
is the Fed political? I mean, does Dagan have a point there? What do you think, Eliana? That they want to raise because it's a presidential election.
Oh, man. I think
it's a tough one, and there's a debate on whether or not they would get political.
They are political.
Yeah, right.
The whole situation, the Fed is originally scripted in 1913, is not what you see today. This has become just like the rest of the government. I know the Fed's not the government, but it become the rest because everybody's concerned about everything else. They just spent $4 trillion. Look what I got for $4 trillion. I got a lousy growth. I got no jobs. I got nothing.
Yeah, I think what you see is it's very difficult to silo one part of the government, and people tend to say, oh, well, economics happen over here and politics happen here, but everything really is inextricably intertwined,
right, sure,
and one affected by the other.
Yeah, and we've been having monetary policy now in place, lower interest rates, and all this stimulus from QE for now several years. We haven't seen that kind of fiscal policy. I don't know. When was the last major? I mean, I guess Obamacare was the last major.
Boy, was that a great program too? Man,
I'm saying
we have $4 trillion.
Tax reform. You know, I mean, there's so much to be done, and it hasn't happened.
Well, we created a lot more entitlements, though.
One of the greatest drags on growth for years to come will be Obamacare and the burden it put on businesses trying to manage through that.
Yeah.
And we haven't even seen the 40% excise tax on Cadillac health care plans. That doesn't even kick in until 2018. Mm-hmm. So we've got two and a half more years before that hits.
So you wonder if, in fact, it's that and the other regulations out there that have become much more stringent of recent past, that is actually keeping the economy in check and not creating the jobs that you'd like to see.
Well, I mean, everything is, you know, you go even into the banking, all the banking legislation and rules now. You know, they're preventing the American farmers who used to depend on the community banks to go out and borrow money because of Dodd-Frank and all these other things. They can't even get money. How are they're having trouble staying in business.
Yeah.
And with this commodity splash, I mean, did the Fed manipulate this commodity crash to make sure that they didn't have to worry about raising rates?
Yeah, but I'd argue this economy would be in a lot worse shape back in 2008 and the ensuing years if the Federal Reserve had sat back and done jack all, zero, zip, not a niente.
Right. All right, meanwhile, the scandal surrounding Hillary Clinton's private email server, that is growing another 100.
And our scandal here is not to worry because we know better. And, you know, again, it comes down to, it's really a simple problem, okay? What we have don't work. What we have is a pile of crap of financial engineering that our Federal Reserve and central banks around the world are manipulating the economy, saying, hey, why not? We can do it. Why shouldn't we do it? And of course, you are seeing all the reasons why they shouldn't be doing it, because what have we created? Nothing. We have created zero, zip, zilch, nada. We've created a mess that wait until we have to figure our way out of this mess. What are they going to do next? What are they going to do in QE 742 when they get there? What will they do to the currency when we get there? A lot of unresolved issues, but I know one issue that should be resolved is your own personal portfolio management. And if you are not managing your portfolio, if you're not hedged against the market break, and I don't mean by just buying straight puts, because that I think is ridiculous. If you are not signed up and have not joined the Badger and Me and put it in the hedging class that we are doing, I will say this: you are making a mistake that will determine your financial future forever, because we're going to teach you ways that help you become a market player instead of what happened to my money now. We teach you how to stay in the market at all times and benefit from every market condition. You want to find out more? Email me at Bubba@thebubbashow.org. Until then, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop here for a break, and we'll be right back. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you today. And, you know, last Wednesday, I had the good fortune of being in my travels. I was New York, Montreal, and then Toronto. And in Toronto, I got the good fortune of being on with my friend Kim Parley, who hosts Money Talk for TD Waterhouse in Canada. And of course, remember, you Canadians, you can get a better rate with TD Waterhouse now, better than any rate in the entire province. Anyways, I want to share with you the interview we did. So let's get over to myself and Kim Parley on Money Talk.
Hello there and welcome to Money Talk. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. I'm Kim Parley. We have a great show coming up. Markets started selling off, as you just heard, about 2 weeks ago. And of course, we had that historic 1,000-point drop at the open for the Dow Jones Industrials right at August 24th. Now, most investors, it's been a long time since they've seen the likes of this kind of volatility, and I may not know how to deal with it. So I sat down and talked to a seasoned trader, Todd Horowitz, about this and asked him exactly what is going on with these markets. Here's what he had to say.
Well, there's a lot of things going on in the markets right now. The first thing you have is you have the fear of what's going on in China right now. That's collapsing their problems. You've got the fear. You've got Mario Draghi coming out. It's going to talk about, and I'm sure it's going to be the same story. I'll do whatever it takes to make the markets better, right?
Yeah.
So you've got world currency wars going on, which is really creating a lot of trouble. Now, you've got the other problem you've got here is you've got a United States that refuses to admit that there's a problem in their markets. And you have the Fed continuing to kick the can down the road, which in turn leads to this speculation that there's going to be a rise in interest rates, which there is going to be no rate rise. Okay, there will not be a rate rise this year.
Not in September.
If this is September, I would probably fall off this chair.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's a lot of talk about it, and the bonds have tried to price it in.
Yeah.
But they keep going back and forth, and the Fed has never once predicted the right move to make here.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest problem I see here is you've got the four most dangerous words in the English language floating around on the markets again. This time is different.
Yeah, and it's not...
Kim, now you've been around for a long time in the
market. I'm 29. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, but you've been around for 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. The markets never change.
Yeah.
It is never different. You know, you look at, if you want to go back to 87, I traded through the 87 crash. That market failed for the same reasons that this market will fail. Just a different cast of characters, but always the same reasons.
And the reasons are?
The reasons are we've got too much debt.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, they talk about the housing bubble, right, in 08. Who caused the housing bubble? The banks. Who got bailed out? The banks. So what did they turn around and do? Student debt and auto debt just hit $2 trillion, bigger than the housing bubble.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to talk about that, right?
Yeah.
We've got a Fed that's afraid of their own shadow.
Yeah.
We've got a chair that has no guts to do this because the right thing to do here is to raise rates. Because if you don't raise rates, you don't free up liquidity for entrepreneurs. So what we're doing is we're eliminating all the entrepreneurs out of the business world. Okay, and not allowing them to flourish. And this time will not be different. This market will collapse. Again, I don't want to put out fear to anybody. This is not a fear message. The markets collapse all the time.
Right.
What happens is they sell off and people get scared. They dump, which I'm telling you not to do. I'm telling you to stand hold pat.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is wait, it'll rally back again. You have to just worry about your own personal wealth, but the markets will collapse.
Let me ask you then, when you say things like the markets are going to collapse, I mean, people just go, whoa, just back up here. So I'm listening. I'm a viewer listening to what you're saying right now. What do I do with the information you just told me?
What you do with the information right now is you make sure that your portfolio is well diversified. Because some stocks will continue to at least perform in this market. Even the market falls apart.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you understand some sort of hedge, if you can do so. And if you can't, no big deal. But you also want to make sure that if you're using an advisor or using someone to tell you, make sure you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Don't have them recklessly just putting your money to work. Because sometimes it's better to be out of the market and in cash. Because the markets, again, we've seen it year over year every time.
Yeah.
Every time we get to a certain point, the markets have to have a sell-off because people are going to take out profits and economies change.
Let me ask you on point number two, you said there, you know, a hedge, if you can. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little more about that. What does that mean?
Well, there's some great option strategies out there that can actually lock your portfolio in. Basically, if you have $100,000 today,
okay,
I could actually show you a way that you could still have almost $100,000 tomorrow, even if the market went down 50%.
Simply, tell me what that is.
Simply, it's just there's a way to create a very simple synthetic position, but you have to understand more, and I obviously can't do it in 3 minutes.
Right, fair enough.
But it's something that can be done that everybody should have on their portfolio, and I've had on my portfolio since 1987.
Really?
Yes.
So it's insurance, and
it's
and there's
a way
a cost.
To insure, but the cost, it doesn't always have the cost. That's the difference. The one thing that this time is never going to be different is also there is never a cheap option. You hear a lot of people say, buy cheap puts. Puts themselves are never cheap. They're fairly valued because they're built by a market maker who's like an insurance actuary pricing it out. Do you think actuaries give things away? Of course
probably not. No.
So, but what it is there's a way to create a artificial position that will protect the position that you have without have costing you any money. It's very interesting and it's great, but everybody should understand their portfolio, what it consists of and who's handling it and where they should go from there.
When you say, again, the word collapse, so let's just say, okay, I've heard you, I'm investigating hedges and looking at that. What are you talking about? Are you talking like what size of correction, what size, and not correction, the technical term, but where do you see things going?
I see the first stop on the way down, I see 1586 in the S&P, which is about 20% from here.
Okay.
There's a potential we could go lower, you know, to 1,200. I mean, I see it's possible. Now, I don't like to make those kind of predictions. I look at the markets by one level at a time from a technical standpoint.
Yeah.
But knowing what I know about the way markets function and the way things happen, there's always a collapse. Again, you go back to Tulip Mania in the 1600s.
Yeah.
Everything always falls apart for whatever reason it is. It will fall apart. So it's usually deeper than you think it is. And like oil just happened, you know, we see oil collapse on the 37 from
100%. And then we saw a three-day rally up to 25%.
So you'll see the markets fall. And again, there'll be no reason. They're not going to announce it. They don't say, we're going to do this. It just starts to happen. And then when fear finally sets in and typically it's usually the retail investors, the smaller guys, start panicking, or if you use a technical term, puking, that's when the markets will finally base and they'll build about.
Okay, so someone's listening to this right now. I'm a retail investor. I'm listening to you. I don't want to do that. What discipline do I need to put into myself to make sure that I don't do that? Because that's exactly what you don't want to do.
The discipline you have to do is you have to, when the markets are going crazy as they were last Monday, they were down 1,000. I sent out an email to all my people. I said, don't do anything. Take a deep breath. Don't panic. Look at the market logically.
Put your iPhone down.
That's right. Don't look at the portfolio. Think about logically what's going on. We know that there's going to be selling. Don't panic yourself out of the market. Don't react on emotion. Just think about anything you've ever had to fight with anybody. You always make a mistake when you're emotional about it. If you're not emotional, you have a much better chance. And if they're killing the market, you have a much better chance by waiting because there's a fair chance it'll come back a little bit.
Last question for you, 30 seconds. When do you see, I know these questions are, you know, in terms of levels, but is this something you expect to happen in the next 6 months, year, 2 years? I mean, where would you be comfortable saying, I think it's going
to
happen here?
I think it's hard to say, but I would, this is a little aggressive, but I think it's got a good chance to happen this year.
As in calendar?
In this calendar year. I think, and not all the way down that far, but I mean, I think we could see a potential of down another 15% this year, possibly. Now, again, that's an aggressive call, but it depends a lot on what happens and the news drivers, the fear that'll drive the market, whether it be China, Draghi, you know, not Greece didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, what happens here if something happens with the debt? You know, there's a whole bunch of little things that could create that, but I would say for sure within the next 18 months, but it could be in the next 6 months if things fall the way they would and we see a major panic, because that's what you're waiting for. You see it every time the market sells off. The sellers are running in.
All right. There's a look at Bubba's Guide. It is called Bubba's Guide to Trading Options. It's Todd Bubba Horowitz's book. So if you're interested in some of the hedging strategies he was talking about, you can learn about it here. And of course, that was Todd Horowitz. He is chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com. Okay.
And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I hope you enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty much on point for what's going on in the markets today. And I always want to share, you know, again, I'm not a panic guy. I'm not somebody who's a driver of creating that ridiculous fear in things that you see. I do want to talk to you and make sure you understand our hedging program. We're going to be putting a link up this week so that you can sign up for it there with all the details. But great show today. I hope you enjoyed Maria and Kim and Dagan and everybody else that was involved. I think we had a lot of fun. And again, I think it's more important that you understand the mechanics and the workings of a market rather than the fear that we see created by the people out there. Again, that's the importance of being a successful investor and a successful trader, is being the sort out the crap, the news and the noise, and look at things from a calm, logical point of view. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. The Bubba Show.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.